Gordy's ready.
I think we have him with us. This guy, I'm telling you what, there is more knowledge in this guy's little finger than there is in the whole of this building, or maybe this block combined. That, of course, is our good friend, the coach, Gordon Chiesa. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
No, thanks a lot, Frank. Hey, hello, Steve. How's it going?
Good, Gordy. How you doing?
I am doing great. Thanks, guys.
Good to have you on. Hey, Gordy, tell us what you're doing nowadays. I know you're currently with the Orlando Magic. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I'm Orlando right now as we speak. I'm the full-time coach and consultant to the organization. So what I basically do is I work with all our coaches in Orlando and coach development. I mean, even at the highest level, professional sports, you know, coaches want to, you know, get new ideas or validate things that they already believe in. So I'm just like a listening ear, and I just help them, I help guide them along the way.
Coach, I know you're our NBA insider. I realize that, but I know that you are a fan of all sports. I know that you developed an affinity for the University of Utah, you know, during your time here, and I know that you followed this kind of situation with the football program. I'm just going to ask you quickly your perspective from your experience. Is it difficult for Utah right now not to have an offensive coordinator, not to have a defensive coordinator on the staff?
Very much. The answer is absolutely unequivocally yes. You want to have people in place so the players feel comfortable. I know it's off season, but in Pac-12 football, in NBA basketball, in the NFL, there's no technically off season. There's no games, but it's not off season. And so you want to have that person in place, and you want that quarterback to feel comfortable. I follow you guys all the time, so I know there's been so many different coordinators. That's how great Kyle Whittingham is as a coach. He's able to navigate through this whole thing the last X amount of months and years with different coordinators and still have a solid Pac-12 program. And Frank, you know so well, and so does Steve, both of you guys, that you have to have NFL-type talent to be able to win in the Pac-12. That's both basketball and football.
Absolutely, no question. And that leads me to the next question, which is, it will get us back into the NBA talk. But how important, from in your experience now at the level that you compete at in the NBA, how important now is coaching?
It's absolutely, I call it the power of coaching. Coaching is a powerful tool in player development. And, you know, when the Utes win in both football and basketball, you know, the average fan doesn't realize the intensity of what it takes to just win that game by a touchdown, or in Larry Kostobiak's world, to win by three-point shots. Just to win a game, especially, Frank, a road game, that's a whole different issue where there's so many elements that players could cave in, but with sound coaching. And that's also, besides being the head coach, it's the position coaches. In the NBA, it's the assistant coaches, where they play such an unbelievable impact on the player's mental makeup, because they're the players, guys they talk to often when they have some sort of element of doubt. You know, most players have no fear. That's why they're competitive. But there's an element of doubt sometimes about how they're going to play a certain coverage, and usually speaking, the coaches play such an important part. So, Frank and Steve, the power of coaching is absolutely critical, especially at every level. A lot of times, young players, he or she is 10, 11 years old, and they have a bad experience with a coach, and it turns them off about playing the sport versus having an unbelievable, upbeat, powerful experience with a coach, and that gives them an unbelievable jump start that I want to be good at a certain sport. It's powerful.
Well, you know, Gordy, and we'll kind of go along the lines of the NBA, and you look at these coaching, you know, these coaching changes that happen year in and year out, but then you look at the franchises or the programs, if we're talking college football, the franchises in the NBA that have success year in and year out, and it's a coach that has his system in place. And to me, that's no different when we look at the University of Utah. And I mentioned, why are they struggling offensively? It's because they don't have a system. They don't have that identity. How important, Gordy, when you look at the NBA, and that's what you deal with on a regular basis, is it to have that system in place. And then it makes, you know, from my understanding, it makes things a lot more easy to go out and find that guy, that NBA player that fits into that system.
Very much. Continuity is absolutely critical. And that starts at the top with both the management team and the head coach and the coaching staff. And that's the great debate, Frank and Steve, is do you either in football and basketball, do you recruit for your system, or in the NBA, do you draft for your system? The answer is the players are the system. But so that winning coaching is at the elite level, meaning the NBA and, you know, Pac-12 level, you know, getting to the Rose Bowl, you know, getting to the Final Four in basketball. And as a matter of fact, you know, if you're a Utes fan right now, I mentioned this to Bill Riley recently, that the Utes in basketball have every opportunity to get to the Sweet 16. And then take it from there as far as, you know, how well you're playing and the individual matchups as far as playing. The system really, you're saying, Frank, is basically a value system. This is our system of how we're going to play the game, and then the players have the values that are put into the system besides the skills. Most players have talent. They don't have the high level of skills. It's a job of the coaches to develop the talent, which equals skills, which equals what? The playing model. And successful coaches in their system, in every sport, 80% of the system, they never change. But the elite coaches change 20% based on who's on your team at that moment. And then the greatest coaches of all time, and let's state this right now about Urban Meyer, is that what he did at Ohio State only reinforces is that the power of coaching, of tweaking your system somewhat because the other guys aren't there, but doesn't mean you still can't win. And that's why Urban Meyer is an absolutely fantastic coach.
Gordy, we're not quite at the halfway mark in the NBA, obviously coming up on All-Star Weekend, about a month away. You know, I happened to go to the Jazz versus Golden State Warriors 2 days ago. And if you've watched Golden State this year, they're a fun team to watch. The team that plays outside in, they can rain it from wherever. I think they had 14 made three-pointers in that game. I mean, unbelievable scoring opportunities. You've got guys that can shoot the ball, Stephen Curry. So, Gordy, let me ask you, when you look, is that a system, now, talking system, is that Golden State system that they have, can that lead you to a championship? And to me, when I look at this team, it's fun. It reminds me of the Mark D'Antonio days, you know, when he was at the Phoenix Suns and a lot of running back and forth, shooting, getting shots up and scoring 120 points. But isn't playoffs built from inside out?
Yes, it is. But it's that, Steve. What makes the Golden Warriors so interesting, they're first in the NBA in defense. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Think about it, Steve, where they score the ball. Your point is right on about scoring and an element of fun. But what they added to this is that the component of defense. And so their star players are two-way players. Stephen Curry, the world's greatest shooter, tries to guard defense. Klay Thompson, you can make a discussion point, in the top five NBA shooters, he's absolutely a two-way player. Then they go this young guy named Draymond Green, who's a second-round pick. And, Frank, you know, just like in football, when a guy's undrafted or a guy's a sixth-round pick, he always has what? A chip on his shoulder. In NBA basketball, when you're undrafted or a second-round pick, you have a chip in your shoulder, and that's a Draymond Green where he starts for them, and he gives them an element of toughness on the boards, and he can guard multiple positions. And in former Utes, Andrew Bogut, the way they're constructed, he's like a point center.
Yeah.
So the way the Warriors play, they have an inverted offense where Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry are guards, but they're always coming off a screening action. And the point center basically is Andrew Bogut, and he's pass happy. And whenever your big guys are pass happy, your teammates are happy. Mm.
Coach, when we talk about the Utah Jazz specifically and Quinn Snyder taking over this year and the group of people he put around him and put together, tell us, kind of give us maybe a mid-year status report from your perspective, how he's working with that talent, where this team is going.
Oh, I like the way they're going. They're trending up in the right direction. He's raising issues. Frank and Steve, I've been saying this for a little. I've been a coach for 42 years. Is that without hurt feelings, you always get mixed results. Just don't make those hurt feelings hard feelings. So it's an unbelievable balancing act that every successful coach has to do at every level, and that's Quinn Snyder, where he's raising issues. Just generally speaking, the Jazz play harder this year than the previous last year or two. So that's positive, because usually speaking, when the team that plays hard has a chance to win the game. So that's the first thing he's done. What he's done also is that he's a strong player development, where Rudy Gobert, are you kidding me? That guy's the fourth best shot blocker in the NBA and number one in minutes played as far as being a shot blocker. But you get the sense that Rudy Gobert, that he can get a triple-double in a game. Meaning what? Rebounds, blocks, and points. And he, by the way, he's only 22 years old. Yeah. So there's a strong commitment to player development. And Gordon Hayward, he got the contract. He settled down really physically and mentally. He's having a good year. So there's strong player development. The team is playing harder. There's an emphasis on defense. They're trending up. So he's done a good job. And most of all, they play in a big, bad West. And the West is absolutely loaded. Frankie, in football, it's who you play in football. Mm-hmm. And and just like in football and basketball, it's developing quality depth by attrition, because people get hurt. Here's the reality in every sport. Guys get hurt. And so it's a reality. So that guy that's your 10th man in basketball in November becomes your 8th man in January 15th. And when that guy's focused and comes through, he'll play better, and that's the Jazz. The Jazz bench has improved tremendously, and they're focused, and that's clever coaching by Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, I think when you look at Rudy Gobert, he's certainly been the surprise of this basketball team. I think you can make a case for Gordon Hayward, who certainly stepped up to that franchise player, but Rudy Gobert is a centerpiece, and he's been a great surprise. So, Gordy, play GM for me. If you're and we see the NBA go in trends, right? We see guys, 10 years ago, if you were to say, who are you going to build your team around, you're going to use a big man, okay? Now, I'm thinking more, it's a point guard type league, and we're moving away from that a little bit. The last 5 years, it's certainly been. Play GM for me, Gordy. If you're building a franchise, and you've got to build it from the ground up, tell me who you're going to choose. I shouldn't say what particular player, but what position are you going to build from the ground up?
I'm going to choose the way it is now. There's so few old school back to the basket players. So the catchword the last 10 years is stretch four, stretch five, which now opens the floor up. So there's no more like a big guy at the low block, traditionally. There's still some, and that's good, because in playoff basketball, you've got to play through the low block, and that low block player could be a mid-sized guy. So it doesn't have to be your 6 foot 11, 7 foot guy. It could be someone 6'5", 6'6", which commands a double team. See, the words I'm using, command versus force a double team. But if I'm building a team, I'm going to build a team that's the best perimeter two-way player. So it won't be actually a point guard. It could be a point guard, but I'm going to get that best guy who's a two-way player that can impact the game, whether it's offense or defense. So we're talking a guy that's a world-class athlete that has the mental skills of knowing how to play with the ball and without the ball. Steve, any sport, the ability to play without the ball is absolutely critical. And the great ones play without the ball, but when the ball comes to them, they're in an attack mode. And just generally speaking, in basketball, anytime you can play in the second side of the floor or third side of the floor, you're going to have a chance to be great. And that's why it's so important to put the best guys not on the first side of the ball. It's always on the second and third side of the ball. So when they attack, they're attacking not against set defense.
Well, Coach, it's very interesting. One of the things you talk about, playing without the ball, a lot of people say that Wayne Gretzky, although it was not a ball, his greatness was about playing without what he did without the puck, getting into those positions. So very interesting comment. Before we let you go, Coach, and we certainly appreciate your time, Gordon Chiesa joining us here today. I have a question. There's some controversy in the NBA right now about who I consider the best player in the league, and LeBron James and his head coach and David Blatt, and whether or not those guys are going to figure it out. So the things that we're talking about today, certainly there's talent on the court, and a lot of people say talent wins. But then you have the coach on the sideline, and they're not playing to the level a lot of people think they should be playing. What are your thoughts on where the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to end up this year?
Well, right now, let's speak the two parts of that. First, right now, they're 19-20. Yikes, a losing record. They've lost six in a row, nine of the last ten. And then, Steve, here comes the interesting one. Kevin Love, last game, didn't play in the fourth quarter. Steve, yikes. Kevin Love, he's a good player, doesn't play in the fourth quarter. So that tells me, as an insider/outsider, that they have an internal problem there. Who's forcing it? We'll find out, Frankie and Steve, the next few months. How do you turn it around? By getting your best players on the same page, and it starts every day in practice. So you've got to communicate with them to do it. Now, the flip side, from a player's point of view, you've got to respect the coach. You've got to respect the coach. It's not going to work if there's not a high level of respect. And that's what? That's when the coach says, we're going to do this, the main guys buy in, and we're going to do this to our best of our ability with the most consistent way, and we're doing it as a team, not individually. So we're going to find out in the next few months. They have enough talent to go deep in the playoffs in the East, but my instincts tell me that it's going to be the Bulls, because the Bulls have a whole bunch of two-way players. They're defensive-minded, and they fell short the last few years. And in playoff, in any sport, when you fall short the last few years, there's an unbelievable, when the playoffs start, there's an incredible resolve to play as a unit, because it hurts so much when you lose.
Incredible insight, of course, Coach. Now, we can't let you go without the list. You have a list for us today.
Yeah, I do. I have a quick list of all the Utah fans. This is a list of just six players of the six guys with Utah ties, either live here, went to school here, or were born here as far as playing in the NBA. I'll give you just a quick list. Number six, Justin Hamilton from Lone Peak High School in Highland, Utah. He plays for the Miami Heat. He was the guy that was picked in the second round, 7 foot tall, age 24. And he's averaging 2.8 points per game. But in his world, hey, I'm in the NBA as a second-round pick. The next one you got to love. This guy was undrafted in 2005. Utah Valley University Wolverines, the pride of it. He turned 32 in June. And it's his 10th NBA season. We're talking about Ronnie Price of the Lakers. You're a Jazz fan. You're going to see Ronnie Price tomorrow night try to body up. Yeah, tomorrow night. Friday night, pardon me. Trying to body up against Dante Exum and against Trey Burke. The good part is the defense. The not-so-good part is for the last 10 years, he's only shooting from the floor basically 38%. So he's got to keep working on that. The next player, let's talk about for a second, is Andre Miller. Are you kidding me? He's the oldest guy in the NBA.
Father Time.
Yeah, Father Time. He'll turn 39 on March 19th, and his thing about Andre Miller, no one ever talks about. He's the ninth all-time leading assist person in the NBA. Ninth of all time. Yeah, we coach John Stockton, all the Jazz fans, everybody. Everybody loves John, Jason Kidd, etc. But Andre's number ninth in the NBA. This is his 17th NBA season. But here's the best part about it. He's only missed 30 games in 17 years.
Wow.
Which has reinforced Frank and Steve about what? Playing the game on the ground. A lot of times in sports, you're so athletic, you go airborne, which means what? You're up in the air. When you're up in the air, only bad things happen. A lot of times you have to crash down to earth. And so Andre Miller wasn't a great leaper, and it's helped him tremendously. Let's go fast forward. When Michael Jordan, in the last 5 years of his career, when the ultimate airborne players, he played the game on the ground. He's able to play until age 40. Kobe Bryant, airborne player. You see him tomorrow night. His game now, he's adjusted his game somewhat because of injuries and also because of his body hits, is what? Playing a game on the ground. Andre Miller, you got to love him. And then recently, he said recently, I'm going to try to play till at least age 40 because I love playing the game. And everyone lives in Utah is proud of Andre Miller. And by the way, he was the eighth pick of the draft. And by the way, back in 1998, that glorious game when they beat Arizona. And Frankie and Steve, let's hope that the Utes can beat Arizona tonight, Arizona State, and more importantly, also just as important to say, on Saturday night against the Wildcats. All right, the next one, quickly. Jimmer Fredette. Okay, Jimmer. He's on the Pelicans, and he is still trying to find a role. So they traded Austin Rivers the other day. Jimmer could get some more playing time. People forget that Jimmer Fredette is really a shooter, not really a point guard. That's not his his skill set and his mentality. He's a 40% career three-point shooter. So on a really on a team like the Pelicans, he can be effective if given playing time as far as being consistent. So he turns 26 in February. So this is the time right now to really try to get it. If I was counseling Jimmer Fredette, by the way, let's play better defense though, both on the ball, off the ball. The way to win the respect of your teammates and your coaching, the coaching staff is what? Be a junkyard dog on defense. The last two quickly. Andrew Bogut, Golden State Warriors, best record in the NBA, 31-5, Australian guy, age 30. He's playing at a high level. Mentioned earlier, he's battling a right knee problem, so it's been up and down as far as in the lineup. But the fact of the matter is that he's shooting 54% from the floor, 8.8 rebounds, 2.8 assists, and he's pass happy. I mentioned earlier, he's having a great career. He was the first pick of the draft in 2005, so 10 years ago from the Utes, first pick. The last one, and by far the number one, Damian Lillard, Weber State Wildcats. Incredible player. He leads the NBA in fourth quarter scoring. So of all the guys in the NBA, Kevin Durant, LeBron, Stephen Curry, Damian Lillard leads the NBA in fourth quarter scoring. He's played great for them. He's an all-star last season. He should make the all-stars. But here's an interesting thing that I looked up today about him. Steve, do you know the reason, do you know the reason why his jersey number, his number is zero, jersey number for Damian Lillard?
Ooh, that's a great question. I can't.
Don't feel bad. Neither did I. And this makes so much sense, which shows you that the obvious is never obvious to the oblivious guys like me. Here we go. It's number zero, so it looks like an O. O means Oakland, his hometown. Ooh. O means Ogden, his college days, and O means Oregon, the state of gainful employment. So he wears number zero for O. And here's the last one, Frankie. This is a great one. He's the first guy in the history of Adidas from a mid-major school to get his own signature sneaker.
Which he, by the way, didn't he choose the color purple, right? For Weber State, I saw. I saw that the shoe, I guess, is the first ever, is going to be the first release shoe is going to be purple.
Purple. I love it.
For Weber
State.
This is a
great story for him. Hey, in professional sports, none of us mind paying guys that earn their economics of it, and that's Damian Lillard. They love him. He loves a Portland area. He's got a good team with him. He's the leader. In fourth quarter crunch time, he comes through. He gets a sneaker right now. It's all part of being a professional athlete. So, hey, kudos to him. And that's my list of the Utahns. So, Frankie and Steve, I know you guys had Utahns on your mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Portland in second place in the West right now, 30-9 record with Damian Lillard at the helm. Coach, we certainly appreciate your time. We hope that we get to see you around here sometime soon. Please give us a call when you're in town.
Definitely. Good luck, guys.
Thanks, Gordy.
Thanks, Coach. There he is, Coach Gordon Chiesa, our NBA insider.